Welcome back. I'm Michael Cohen. This is 1320 WILS. The General Motors annual shareholders meeting taking place today at the Renaissance Center in Detroit. Chairman and CEO Dan Akerson telling shareholders that improving financial margins and continuing efforts to fix its European operations are the top priorities in the year ahead. So is that likely to be enough to lift GM stock now in the low 20s, down from its IPO price of $33 a share back in November of 2010? To find out, I'm joined by David Whiston. He's the senior equity analyst at Morningstar, which provides stock market analysis, equity, mutual fund, and ETF research ratings and picks. David, thank you very much for joining us on WILS.
Good evening.
So GM posted a record $7.6 billion profit in 2011. It did lose $747 million in Europe. What's leading to these losses in Europe, and how quickly will GM be able to change that dynamic?
Yeah, the Europe story for me, I think any analyst would agree with this. It's very much a multi-year story. I'm not looking for much improvement in Europe anytime soon. The labor contract there isn't up until 2014, and it seems like management has their hands tied on capacity reduction until that time. I mean, my whole investment thesis is predicated on the U.S., where GM actually makes most of its money, although most of their volume is overseas. If you look at the profit contribution, and this is true for Ford, too, you can see the vast, vast majority of it all comes from North America, which is primarily the United States.
So in terms of the losses being incurred in Europe, you don't view that as any kind of a key factor to the stock being down the way it is now?
I wouldn't say it's not important. It's just far less important than what GM does in places like the U.S. and China. But what is dragging down the stock prices of really every, I cover the auto industry full time, and every one of my companies is just getting hammered because of fears of European recession and European contagion in the banking sector. You know, i.e., the worst case scenario would be something like, you know, several Lehman Brothers type events going on in Europe all at once this summer, and that's what the market's terrified of.
I see. Now, in terms of the concern then for the automakers in general, though, what would that be? Just a collapse in auto sales there?
Well, much like what you saw what we saw in the U.S. a few years ago in 08 and 09 was the bottom, as you know, for our industry at 10.4 million units sold. There would be an initial very hard fall off, and then there'd probably be some type of government incentives to juice up demand again. Europe's already done a cash for clunkers type program, though, in great, great length and duration relative to what we did in the States. And so they really don't have a lot of options at this point to get things going. They just have to clean up their finances and clean up the debt structures in their governments, like in places like Greece.
Are automakers in general then being affected the way GM is and taking losses in Europe right now, or is GM taking kind of the brunt of it?
Most automakers are hurting pretty badly, even a lot of the European ones. The exceptions are firms like Volkswagen, BMW, and Daimler. Daimler makes Mercedes, so the luxury ones, and VW is just such a very efficient operator and has a lot of scale over there that they're doing okay. But even results out of Toyota, Honda, GM, and Ford, you know, that every firm there is either barely making money in Europe, and most of them are losing money in Europe. So it's not a GM-only problem, but it does seem like GM is further behind those guys. But again, as long as the U.S. works out, which I think it will, because we're selling way too few vehicles in this country, I'm not too worried about it.
Now, many analysts are saying the stock price is being dragged down by the government's 32% stake in GM following the bailout. But getting out right now would mean losing billions. Why is government ownership working against the stock price going up?
Yeah, the government ownership here is very, very large. When you combine the U.S. and the Canadian interest, you're talking about 640 million shares out there. And GM overall has a little less than 1.6 billion shares trading, if I remember right. So the fear is with portfolio managers, with money managers, they don't want to be the one to stick their neck out and buy a lot of GM stock. And then the U.S. Treasury comes out, say, after the election and says they're dumping their 500 million shares onto the market all at once because the stock would get hammered that day. It would be a tremendous buying opportunity at that point, but it would be very painful if you've already bought the shares. So what we call this in the industry is an overhang. It's something that would keep investors from wanting to get into the stock, and this is a huge, huge overhang, unfortunately. It's a chicken and egg problem, I guess. I mean, people know it's cheap, but they're afraid to get in because of this sell-off risk. But the government, of course, doesn't want to get out until they can get the stock price up. So.
Sure. I'm talking to David Whiston. He's the senior equity analyst at Morningstar. Find him online at Morningstar.com. Now, GM stock price would have to get to about $53 a share for the government to break even on this almost $50 billion investment in GM. Is there any reason to expect that that decision would be made to sell the stock before it got to approximately that price?
I don't think the government will wait that long, honestly. I've long assumed that taxpayers will not be made whole on this investment, which is a shame, but it saved probably a million jobs or more when you factor in the multiplier effect. And obviously in the Lansing community, it's a big employer. But in terms of taxpayers breaking even, I don't see the government waiting to see the stock get back to about $52.80 to break even. I think they'd be happy just getting the IPO price of $33 at this point, but with the stock trading around $22, even that's a long ways off.
Is there a sense then that if Mitt Romney were to become president, that decision might be made earlier than if Barack Obama is reelected?
I think it's possible. I don't want to speculate too much what Romney wants to do. I know he's made public comments about how the government should get out right away, and I think everyone agrees on that. Even the Obama administration would agree on that if you pushed him on it. The problem is, and Romney would know this as a businessman, you can't just dump all the shares on the market to get out quickly because you'll kill the share price, and the government won't even get, if the stock were to stay the same price at 22 right now, the government wouldn't get 22 if they come out and say we're selling all the shares at once, because the stock would fall well into the teens, and then you're selling it at an even bigger loss.
Is the government then required to make that information public before they do it, how they're going to sell, when they're going to sell, or can they do it on their own terms?
They can do it totally on their own terms, and that's the problem. Everyone's waiting to see how are they going to get out. And as a stock analyst, I would just like to see the government have a plan and make it public. They don't have to necessarily sell everything all at once, and I don't think anyone wants to see them sell everything at once because they'll drive the share price down. But if they could just come out and say, okay, we have 500 million shares, we're going to sell X number of shares over Y number of months or days or whatever it may be, just once there's a signal and an intent for the government to get out, I think it would be a very, very positive event for the stock price, provided the government sells in a responsible way.
The decision by GM to offer the buyouts to white-collar retirees and then hand over the remaining pension program to Prudential, get it off their books, how important do you view that to GM's financial future, and how soon do you think that decision will impact its stock price, if at all?
Any stock price impact from that, we saw on June 1st when they announced that there was a real quick pop upwards because the market at first thought they were just magically making $26 billion in liabilities disappear. But they had to give Prudential $29 billion in pension assets to make that happen. So on a net basis, it wasn't that big of a deal for the stock price. The good part for GM, though, is that $26 billion in liability will become Prudential will take on the risk of that starting next year. So that portion of the liability, it doesn't matter what will happen with interest rates and things like that. And that's good for GM because they can focus on the stock price. It was an expensive deal to do, though, because they had to pay several billion dollars up front to help fund that annuity. And so everyone's now wondering, are you going to do the same thing with the UAW's pension plan? And it would cost a lot more than just $3 or $4 billion to do that. You probably couldn't do the whole thing, in fact.
Do you expect to see, or should we expect to see, some plant closures and layoffs for GM here in the U.S. in the coming year or two as they make some of the changes that Akerson was saying need to be made right now?
No, I'm not concerned about a complete U.S. plant getting shut down. There was an announcement in the one line up in Ontario recently, but that wasn't an entire plant. And as I think we all know, GM's massive pain and restructuring in the U.S. has already happened. We're actually seeing the opposite problem right now with all the automakers. They can't make enough cars right now to meet demand. And you've got all these plants running on three shifts, and the automakers are very, very reluctant right now to add capacity. GM's just adding the one plant in Spring Hill, Tennessee later on for the Equinox. But I think eventually we're going to reach a tipping point where everyone just needs to have more capacity, and the only way to do that is to make an investment and ultimately hire some more people.
Now, you said that one of the things that's holding back automakers, GM and others, is concern about what will happen in Europe generally. But, I mean, GM is having huge sales in China right now. They're expecting that to boost capacity by 25% this year. They're increasing sales in Russia. You know, they had a record profit and strong sales in the U.S. I mean, are all those things likely to be able to sustain GM through any potential downturn, major downturn in Europe?
I think so. I mean, what you're already seeing in GM's quarterly results is in Ford, too, you just see a really healthy North American segment in both companies and some more lackluster results really all over the world. Europe is a given, I think, for everybody that they're going to lose money. I'm more positive on GM going forward in regions like South America because they've got a lot of new product coming down the pipeline there. And you just have to give them a couple quarters to recoup some launch costs and R&D costs. And then at that point, you start getting the good side to having a high fixed cost base, and you can recoup your investment and make some profit. Europe, unfortunately, will be bad, I think, for them for several years to come, despite getting some new product.
You know, finally, Ackerson today said, quote, 2011 was a good year, but it wasn't a great year. If you're a shareholder of GM, and you got in, it's around $33 when it IPO'd. How would you feel about what happened today and looking ahead to the year, next year or two? What would you want to see happen to be able to be made whole?
Yeah, the hard part for GM stockholders, I think one just has to have an immense amount of patience because this company is not done transforming itself. The cover story in today's Wall Street Journal was a great example of that. They've still got some bureaucratic problems. The product pipeline is a lot better than it was a year or two ago, but they've still got a lot of work to do. I'm really excited to see what's going to happen with things like the Cadillac XTS and the APS. Finally give them a compact, and then next year you've got the new Impala, and most critically, full-size pickup trucks starting next year, which they desperately need. But there's still a lot of work to do here. They're still way behind on relative to, say, Ford or Toyota and having common vehicle platforms. And as an investor, that's what you're really looking for. Ackerson talked about that in his prepared speech today about improving margins, and that's what you need because when you have more common platforms, you get more economies of scale, meaning you can put your costs over a fixed cost base over more units. And you combine those things going on with what I think is the inevitable recovery in U.S. auto demand, I think GM will be printing money over the coming years. But they just have still a lot of work to do.
David Whiston, Senior Equity Analyst at Morningstar. Find him at Morningstar.com. David, thank you so much for joining us on WILS.
Thank you.
And we are coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen. You are listening to 1320 WILS.